fire rescue, EMS, law enforcement. These are the three components of public safety. And those who answer the call are the first responders. Welcome to another episode of 5-Alarm Task Force with your host, Steve Green. 5-Alarm Task Force presents some of the best instructors, leaders, and mentors in public safety today to educate, elucidate, and entertain. No topic is out of bounds, and every opinion has value. 5-Alarm Task Force is brought to you by 5-Alarm Task Force Corp. One family, one mission. First responders helping each other. And our sponsors, Insight Fire Training LLC, your best bet for fire service thermal imaging camera training. The Firehouse Tribune, where you can expand your horizons in emergency services and learn to work hard, stay safe, and live inspired. And our promotional partners, Chief Miller Products and Sites, LifeScan Wellness Center, saving the lives of America's heroes, Nestor Bars, the amazing new hand tool for the fire service, the Firefighter Cancer Foundation, fighting to extinguish firefighter cancer since 2004, the Firefighter Cancer Support Network, the Albemarle Sweet Shop, the North Florida Fire Expo, and the Great Florida Fire School. Remember, our ultimate goal is for you to be safe and return home after every call. So insert those earphones or turn up those speakers. The 5-Alarm Task Force is being dispatched right now.
Hello and welcome to another episode of 5-Alarm Task Force. I'm your host, Steve Green. Happy to be with you. Happy to have you with us. My guests today are returning guests now, Chief Dan Kerrigan and Captain Jim Moss. And they are two of probably some of the leading experts on firefighter health and wellness. They've been on the show before. We promoted their book, and we have more to learn from them, as always. So we'll be back with them in just a couple of moments. We just want to let you know that if you're looking for previous episodes of the podcast, you can find over 150 of them on our website at www.5-alarmtaskforcecorp.org. And just select the podcast tab at the main menu, and that'll take you to our library where all those episodes can be found. And if you'd like to follow us on YouTube with our videos from Zoom, our channel is the same name as our company, the 5-Alarm Task Force Corp. And there you'll find the latest videos of our podcast interviews. And that's really it with that. And by the way, while you're on our website, how about signing up for our newsletter? We send it about 7 or 8 times. There'll be one more going out before the end of the year, this year. And it keeps you up to date with news about our website and the new nonprofit, the stuff that we're doing here at 5-Alarm Task Force Corp. And all you have to do on the homepage is just sign up with your email. And we protect that email. We do not sell our email list. We do not give it away. We protect it as much as we can under the law. And should you ever wish to unsubscribe, just drop us an email to dalmatprod@outlook.com with the word unsubscribe in the subject line, and we'll immediately take you off the list. We only want you to be there if you're interested in reading the newsletter about 7 or 8 times a year. And if you follow us on Facebook at 5-Alarm Task Force Corp, we hope you'll like us. And if you do, feel free to drop us a line or send us a message. We always love reading those, and we're so happy to have hundreds and hundreds of you out there who are following us there. And that means a great deal to us. Now, many of you listen to the audio side, the podcast, on the various podcast platforms. And we are all of the major ones and some ones we didn't even know existed, but we're there. We found ourselves through a Google search. And if you do, on many of those platforms, they allow you to fill out a quick review. And that review is very important, both to the platform and to us. Why? Well, first of all, of course, we'd love to get good reviews from you, and 4 stars or 5 stars, whichever that platform allows. But more importantly, the platform uses those positive reviews in their algorithm for where a podcast will wind up during a search. So if somebody comes looking for us and they type in our name and we don't have any good reviews, we're going to be way, way down in that list. But if we have lots of good reviews, we'll be close to the top. Like the cream, you know, and fresh milk. So if you would, please, if you have a chance, and if you haven't done so, please fill out a brief, positive review for us on the platform you use. And by the way, We're also interested in hearing constructive criticism. We need to make ourselves better. And sometimes we can't see it from this side of the microphone, but you can when you listen to our podcast. So please don't be afraid to send us some constructive criticism or even ideas that you have for a show or a guest. We'd love to hear those too. And all of that, just send to dalmatprod@outlook.com. And that's really it. We're going to be opening up our store on the website very soon. We have some t-shirts already available that will be available once the store opens for you to purchase. And we want you to know that the profits of those sales will go to both the foundation, our Five Alarm Task Force Corp Foundation, to help other firefighters and first responders. And of course, we will still help our number one charity, which is the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation. We will never forget them, that's for sure. And that's it. So we'll be right back with my guests, Chief Dan Kerrigan and Captain Jim Moss, right after these words. As always, please stay tuned. New technology for the fire service seems to appear almost every day, and that technology demands a learning curve, especially if we're talking about thermal imaging cameras. That's where Insight Fire Training LLC is your best bet. With an excellent reputation across the U.S., Insight Fire Training will meet all your TIC training needs. Their curriculum is peer-reviewed and has been used internationally. Their instructors are Level 1 Thermography Certified, and they have taught in 33 states and 4 countries. Their courses run from introductory to training the trainers. Courses are available online, for the classroom, classroom hybrid, and even live fire. Insight Training LLC is proficient in over 40 thermal imaging cameras, so you feel confident they will know your make and model. Best of all, programs are customized to your specific needs, and their cadre of fire service veterans are vetted craftsmen of Project Kill the Flashover. They are so proficient that they have trained TIC manufacturers on how to best use and sell their own product. That's Insight Fire Training LLC. Look them up on InsightTrainingLLC.com, your best bet for TIC training. Would you like to meet up with Andy and the team from Insight Training? Well, here's part of their upcoming schedule. Classroom Hybrid 8-Hour Tactical Thermal Imaging Training at Roxbury Volunteer Fire Department in New Jersey. Insight Training will offer an 8-hour day of classroom and live fire demonstrations on November 7th. Faith, Family, and Fire Conference, November 14th to 15th. Instructors Howard Reinwald of FD Tactics, Kurt Isaacson of County Fire Tactics, and Andy Starnes of Insight Training will offer 2 full days of conference-setting presentations on faith, family, and the fire service. This event is sponsored by FD Tactics and will be held in Maine. See our website for details, as the venue is still to be determined. Live Fire Thermal Imaging Training, Harrisburg Fire Department, North Carolina. Insight Training will offer 3 days of classroom and live fire training for the entire department. This event will be held on November 18th, 19th, and 20th. And Tactical Fire Thermal Imaging Certification Level 1, sponsored by InfraRed Training Center, will be held in Nashville, Tennessee area, December 1st through the 4th. This is the course you have been waiting for. It is 32 hours of in-depth training that provides the only fire thermography certification in the world credentialed by InfraRed Training Center. Check out InfraRed Training Center's website for registration details. Remember, Insight Fire Training, your best bet for fire service TIC training. The Firehouse Tribune, where inspiration was forged by those who came before us, opening the doors for us to build a path. A path to share our mission with the rest of the emergency service world. With a small, tight-knit team of first responders dedicated to sharing experiences and knowledge, we constantly strive to provide our followers with thought-provoking content from all aspects of emergency services and life. Our contributors speak at top fire and EMS conferences in the country. They have been guests on numerous fire service podcasts and will even come and speak at your firehouse or event. Interested? Visit their website, www.thefirehousetribune.com. And find them on Facebook using the Firehouse Tribune, and on Twitter at FH Tribune, and on Instagram, FH Tribune. We live by one motto, not just in emergency services, but in life as well. Excellence is a habit, not a goal. We look forward to hearing from you soon. Until next time, work hard, stay safe, and live inspired.
Welcome to Chief Miller. Chief Miller operates the largest social media page dedicated to the men and women of the fire service from around the world. Check him out on Instagram at Chief_Miller. Find him on Twitter at Chief_Miller. And check out the website where you can find Chief Miller Apparel at ChiefMillerApparel.com.
And welcome back to this episode of Five Alum Task Force. And this is a special insert we're putting in here. And I'm so happy to welcome my dear friend, Tom Mitten. Tom, as you know, you may have heard his voice on a number of the voiceovers now on almost every podcast. But Tom has been a friend for a long time. And I just want to share a little background with you. He spent over 40 years in the fire service, many of those as the PIO, the Public Information Officer, working in media relations, community service, teaching in schools. He was the founder of the award-winning program Wake Up Delaware to promote the use of smoke detectors in the state, resulting in thousands of new smoke detectors being installed in homes that previously never had one. He owned his own audiovisual production house for over 20 years. He created a statewide promotion to generate more volunteer interest in the fire service. He moved into content creation, creating, directing, and producing various media. As of the last almost 10 years, he's been an instructor in creating media through writing, directing, and producing for 8 years at Wilmington University. And from 2003 to 2011, he was the co-owner and publisher of the Delaware Fire Service News. Then in 1999-2000, fortuitously, with Dalmatian Productions, founded by our other good friend, Richard Bray, and me, through a notice in Fire Magazine, Tom reached out to us when we needed a videographer and producer. He helped create, write, produce, and direct the pilot for America's Heroes, the Men and Women of Fire Rescue, which is still available on YouTube. This show was a true reality show with interviews of those who worked the emergency scene in their own words. In 2015, he was part of the creative team and writing for our dramatic series, Cause and Origin. In April of this year, Tom thankfully joined me as a production consultant, tech advisor, and voiceover talent. And welcoming Tom is not just because of everything he's done for us, for me, and for the podcast, but now we're introducing a new segment that will appear on episodes of Five Alarm Task Force called FRET, F-R-E-T. No, we're not playing with the guitar. It's Fire Rescue EMS Today, which will be incorporated into our podcast. Tom will address key issues in the Fire Rescue EMS services today. Tom, welcome back to the show.
Well, Steve, thanks so much. I'm exhausted. That introduction was fairly heavy and very kind of you.
Well,
I must say that it's one of those things where I think everybody that I know that's in the fire service pretty much will tell you it's about a passion that you have. It's something that you feel, and whatever your role is, whatever functional role you play in fire rescue and EMS today or yesterday or tomorrow, there's always room for you, whoever you are. And B, you'd be surprised at some of the various things that that we need in the fire service that fall outside of the traditional expectation. So I'm happy to be able to make a contribution, have been able to do so. And it's nice to know that, people appreciate everybody's contributions.
Well, we do. And I think that's one of those unique aspects of the fire service, that once you're in, yes, you may be treated like a rookie for months or a year or something like that, but everyone still appreciates that you made that decision to join up, whether it's career, volunteer, part paid, makes no difference. It's just that you're another body with interest that you want to help people, and you want to help those who are already helping people do better, do more. And I think that's the same thing with that, what you said about that passion.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think it's also the kind of thing that drew us together in the first place,
right?
More than 20 years ago. You had a very definitive idea that you were trying to get motivated and get it started. And you were looking for somebody that might be able to lend some technical and creative expertise. And it so happened that, I was in a position where I was looking at the same kind of thing from the other side of the coin, if you will.
Right.
And that allowed us to find one another. And it was really great in that regard. We were able to share common interests, but also collaborate into making something that maybe none of us was completely sure what it was going to be, but we knew we had something that needed to be accomplished, and we knew that we were the ones that could do it. And there's a lot to that.
There was. I mean, you brought so much to it. I remember Rich and my first trip up to Delaware to meet you and to see your facility and what you were doing. And you really did bring so much that we didn't have. We had the idea. We had the thought. We did the initial sketching and writing of what we wanted to do. And we all started, of course, initially for the Volunteer Fire Service, which all of us were members of at that point. We tried that, and we did. We shot, what, two pilots, I think.
We had different approaches.
Right.
Different creative discussions.
Right. And then it was that distributor who we worked with who made the suggestion, well, why don't you just keep it the same, the men and women of fire rescue, but just make it everybody in fire rescue, not just volunteers. You had some of the connections for footage, which was very important. And then you guided us how to put out the information that we want to request footage from around the country. And boy, did those applications and videos start coming in. And we were able to make some contacts. And you knew how to sew all the pieces together and made this great pilot that we still show on your website and on YouTube as well.
Well, I'll tell you what, depending on how things go over the course of this little get-together, I have a little surprise for you at the end, if you'd like. I have extracted an excerpt or two from the original pilot of America's Heroes, and if we have time, we'll fire it up and let everybody have a peek.
That is a great surprise. That's wonderful. I'll look forward to that in just a couple of minutes. So,
but on to today's agenda.
So you're going to be bringing us installments of FRET, Fire Rescue EMS Today. And tell me how that came about on your side, please.
Sure. Well, knowing that the podcast medium has continued to grow, and also really recognizing the success that you've had with Five Alarm Task Force so far. I mean, you've just completed four seasons, correct?
No, I'm in sixth.
Or this, we're into 18, the fourth.
We're in the fifth season now.
Complete, we're in the fifth.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So we're you're moving right along in that regard, and it was like I knew where you were coming from and was very appreciative of the ideas. But I thought, well, maybe, and again, maybe there's something that I could bring that was a little different. And I consulted with you first because I didn't want to feel like I was crowding your arena or anything of that nature. But thought that, well, maybe there are things that are not necessarily lighter side, but are not the emergency response parts of the Fire Rescue and EMS Service. So I took a look at some of the various issues, and having a background in fire prevention and community education, but also having been, unfortunately, over the years, having been part of any kind of a formal funeral detail or other things of that nature, dress uniform kinds of activities.
Sure.
That maybe there was something there that, there's a story, things about the communications aspects of it. I've fallen a little off the horse, if you will, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to get back on and affiliate FRET with Five Alarm. But I'm looking at things like, I want to do something. I'd like to get an interesting conversation started about the whole helmet cam idea. They're still even several years into the process of folks incorporating these. Some of them are incorporated in a independent, let's call it, category.
Right.
Others are sanctioned by their departments. Some are, I'm not sure, but what's the story and who are the authorities? Who's providing the information? I know that, the people that are making the cameras and selling the cameras, but what are the top 25 career departments in the United States? Do they have policies about the use of helmet cameras on the fireground? But I mean, because we've got ride-along shows about things that are going on in the fire service or the EMS service or the police departments as well. So somebody's letting some degree of that happen. Maybe there's more. But it was that kind of thing. One of the things I've been looking into, and you can expect to see it early on in an episode of FRET, is the movement as far as either retrofitting or new construction of residential homes with sprinkler systems.
Excellent.
And how effective that has been. And the fellow who I'm talking with is another Delawarean, a great guy named Paul Eichler. And he's been really stoic and at the same time, very innovative in how he has gone about promoting and aligning himself with others of, you know, similar feelings about the, not only the importance of it, but the actual value. And he's been receiving information from departments around the country about saves that are definitely credited to a retrofit of a sprinkler system in a house. So there are those kinds of things that, again, are not specific to the particular alarm or strategy and tactics or training or things like that. They all have their place and are handled, among others, quite well by you through 5-Alarm. So I thought, well, maybe this is the right kind of thing to add as an extra measure. So I thought, well, let me talk to my buddy here and see if he might agree that maybe there's something to this idea. And here we are.
Yeah, it is. And you and I both share that same passion because of our of some of the memories we have of the calls that we were on, of knowing that fast water isn't solely defined by getting that first hose line. Fast water can be the sprinkler in a home. And a good friend of the show who's been on a couple of times, Chief Dan Jones, from former chief in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, in every home that he's moved into, he has retrofitted that home with sprinklers. And he said there was just no other way for us to live. That's part of our culture. We need to do it. And on social media, we have been a big proponents and followers of the sprinkler, forget the exact initials, the acronym for it, but pushing sprinklers in new construction, especially, and looking at retrofitting. But we believe that we have to take a stand that every new residential structure, whether it's single family home or apartments, whatever, must be sprinklered from a point forth. That's it. It has to be that way.
Sure. And commercial properties, whether they're business related office buildings or back when I had Procom, the production company, which is more than 20 years ago, when we had that space retro or fitted out for our needs, that was one of the things that had to happen. It hadn't been the case because it was open warehouse, but the whole place had to be sprinklered. And of course, you get a little worried when you got tens of thousands of dollars worth of high-end electronic gear in rooms that have sprinkler heads overhead. But it's one of those things where, A, you hope you never have to, they never have to be activated.
Right.
B, you also want, like you said, fast water. Get the stop out. Make it happen now. Exactly. But so the my point being that the commercial side of things has it figured out, and it's just it's second nature. Residences and the people in them deserve no less.
Exactly, 100%. You also brought up another topic that I'd like to see as part of FRET, is we have a lot of firefighters that receive the line of duty death notices through social media or Chief Billy Goldfeder's The Secret List. But many of them aren't able to travel or know what to do when that tragedy occurs. And you mentioned that one of the things that you had done was working in the LODD system when it occurred in Delaware, helping that department and those members deal, setting up what needed to be done to honor their fallen comrade. And I think that would be an interesting topic, if you're able to do it, to address with our listeners as well and viewers as well, because many don't really understand it. They know that they've lost a comrade from that notice, but they don't understand what happens at that from that point forward in that department, whether it's career, volunteer, again, doesn't make any difference. We all mourn when we lose a comrade, a colleague, but they don't necessarily know, if they've never had it, what the process is, and dress uniforms, what are those, and things like that. And that might be a great topic to include in one of the episodes.
It could be, although it probably ends up being a couple of different things, because right away from what you're saying, what I did was I had a chief who he's the go-to guy in Delaware and the surrounding area when it right. comes to putting a funeral of this type or this kind of a service together from the departmental aspect,
right.
not
right.
from the religious aspect right. or anything like that, but from departmental things, organization and everything like that. But also then to get where you're going about anything beyond that, what does the department do after the fact? I mean, is it customary or expected that their department or their if it's a volunteer company, if they do something, dedicate a monument on the property or name a training room after somebody or what it happens to be to honor them in that regard. You've also got the residual fact that people have to deal with the loss of someone, just the loss. And that may best be handled by the folks who are the critical incident stress people.
Absolutely.
So you've got several different things going on, but it's a good idea. And perhaps we can get several people that could speak to each of those things, either as a group or in a series of, little put together kind
right.
of things.
Right.
Yeah, I'll look into that. Sure.
Well, I think Fret is going to offer our viewers and listeners another side of the culture. And that's what we just talked about with Dr. Clark. And I think if we put Fret all together, fire and rescue and EMS, there is a special culture that we have. They're individualized and compartmentalized in some way, but there's still a culture that we share. And I think Fret is going to bring some more information that I have available in time and guests to bring to the show that would stay in that you're going to be able to contribute to the programming on Five Alarm Task Force.
Well, that's certainly, I think, our mutual hope. But it's also a great honor to be able to affiliate with what you kind of back away from, but I'm here to tell everybody this is a very successful thing that you have been doing now in your fifth season. You know, we were just talking the other day about incorporating Fret into Five Alarm. I mean, I've never been, not that I'm aware of anyway, I've never had anything heard around the world, and you certainly have and do on a very regular basis. And I don't know how many languages are involved, but thank you in every one of them.
Well, so right now, as of from January 1st of this year, we're in over 43 countries. Have listed across six continents. So it is. I have been kind of trying to be persistent with the firefighters at McMurdo Base in Antarctica. Even if they listen to one, that way I can say I have all seven continents covered by the podcast. But I haven't heard any replies from them yet. But
that could be a little tough.
Yeah. But they do have it's a group of volunteers dedicated who are trained for fire protection down there. It's a little bit more difficult, a little few more challenges they have to meet. But I'm sure that every nation that has a base down in Antarctica does the same thing. They still, once you're inside, and you still have to have fire protection of some sort. So, but I think again that would be a great podcast to share with our listeners if I can succeed in connecting with them and bring it on. But I like the idea when you approached me about it, about bringing Fret in as a segment into Five Alarm Task Force, because it offers an extra piece of information that we can share with the listeners and the viewers. And since we'll be doing it probably all on Zoom anyway, so they'll be able to watch it or listen to it based on their choice and availability. And it's going to give them, even though we're in the fifth season, there are areas that you're familiar with and people that you know that I don't have that knowledge or that experience. Because again, I was knocked out after 8 years due to an injury. even though I kept connected to the fire service and kept following it and read the trades and stuff, there was a lot that's happened that I've learned over the last 4 years of doing the 4.5 years of doing the podcast that has occurred that I just can't touch on, or I don't know anybody who can do that. But yet with your expansive experience, you might have those contacts and the knowledge to bring that through in an episode of Fret.
Well, again, I think, you know, that's certainly my hope that, you know, I can interest the people that have the story to tell to spend a little time with me and with the audience and let us know, keep us posted and keep it fresh, because that's today is part of the name of the piece, you know, and that's the idea, is that plenty of folks are handling the nostalgia stuff and plenty of people are doing history related things. But let's keep as close to the front of the line as we can get in terms of what's happening, and, you know, share that with our audience and hopefully do a little good in that regard.
I think we will. I really don't have any doubt about it, because, as I said, it's a different angle for us. It's a new angle, will be a new angle for our listeners, and fulfills my goal of bringing information, not entertainment. I want to bring information to our listeners and viewers that's important to them and that they can take and do something with it. And I think Fret is going to be able to add an extra piece of that right into the podcast, because it's just impossible for me to do so many podcasts on my own and get that many guests all rolled up. And having you, with your experience and your background, coming in with Fret, it's going to allow the show to deliver that product to the listeners through the vehicle of Five Alarm. But it's not on my head that I have to find those people and interview.
No, absolutely. That's the whole idea. You know, right. you come up with something and you delegate, and it's just like running a scene.
Well,
you get somebody else to handle the different aspects of it, and they're accountable to you. But by the same token, you give them their assignment and tell them get it done.
Well, that's your experience as the director, which you.
Also part of being in the fire service.
Right. Well, true. As a director, you actually, going back to how we created the pilots, you really did have the technique down. You told Rich and I what needed to be done. You worked with a guest so very well when we had the host. Then when we moved to the narrator, a version of America's Heroes with, I forget his name again, but
Curtis.
Again, another wonderful voiceover artist as well. And you just put every square block in the square peg. Whereas Rich and I were taking round ones, triangles, and trying to bang them in there, and they just wouldn't fit. You guided us. And I think that's what you're going to bring with Fret, because you're going to bring that wisdom and that experience to each installment. And I think that's going to improve the show. It's going to bring a better level to our podcast.
Well, that again is certainly my hope and my intention. And I think I can handle the assignment, Chief. You know, I just have to get everything squared away, you know, from show to show, or, you know, feature to feature, whatever it happens to be. I mean, we can talk a little about the specs. I don't expect it to be lengthy, but I'm not sure yet where we're going to go, you know, for each one. I think I'm going to try to keep it under 30 minutes, you know, so that there's enough there to get information of some value, hopefully. Mm-hmm. But it also, you know, isn't going to take up, you know, your entire time period.
Right.
So it's something you can get and spend the time with, and then, you know, move on to the next thing.
Right. Well, I think, like I said, this is going to be a terrific addition for us. And I think that first, you know, I'm going to clarify that I'm not a chief. I've always considered myself a snot-nosed belly crawling nozzle jockey. That's about as far as I got before I got hurt. But I think that we work together. We worked very well together over those 20 plus years. You brought great stability to the whole concept of America's Heroes, and not just as a professional director, but as a friend directing Richard and I to the tasks that will that we're going to improve the whole production of the show. And you really were the captain of the ship for us. And I think that is what was so important in producing that pilot and giving it the dramatic quality and yet the informative quality at the in the same way, because the concept of having the people who are on the call talk about it afterwards. Yes, we see, you know, live fire and live PD on television today, but they barely have time to talk to anybody. It's just quick video, and then they move on to the next call. Sure. Our goal was to actually talk with some of the people who were involved in that call and let them explain what they saw, what they went through, what they had to do. And I think that brought much more depth than any other of a similar type reality show that was on at that time.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, but that was our goal. We said all along, this was about us, from us.
Right.
You know, we were all part of the same allegiance, and we wanted to represent the Fire Rescue EMS Services as best we possibly could from the perspective of we understand we've been there too.
Right.
And that mattered a lot. The fact that I was able to bring the other side of my life, my media content creation, and actually probably, I mean, as much as I directed the episode and things of that nature, and my students will tell you this too, the job that I did most on that project, and I do most on any project, is serve as the producer. It's also one of the jobs, and until you take my course, you don't necessarily know, well, what the heck is the producer? It's a very hard job to define because it basically is the everything. It's the person that captains the ship,
right?
Whether it's in dry dock or out in the middle of the Atlantic somewhere, but it's the person who makes sure the trains are running on time or all the other, you know, niceties that explain, you know, what or who a boss is, that kind of thing. But knowing the whole time that your product is directly related to people. I mean, there are people involved in providing the product by being the people that were there and telling the story. There are people who are collecting the product by being the camera operators and the audio technicians and the grips and all that, and the director and producer and everybody, makeup artist, you know, everybody.
Sure.
And then there's the audience. And, you know, you got to create a line that carries all of them jointly to the destination, which is, you know, a successful project.
Right. Well, I think that's one of your great fortes, great strengths.
Well, I do the best I can with what I got.
Uh-oh. I'm not sure how that reflects on Rich and me, but that's okay. We'll accept it. And I mean, we all got, I think what was great is that as coming from being complete strangers with no connection other than the fire service, we became great and fast friends that has kept going. And then when our friend Jesse came on board from LA, he joined the party and we just all remained great friends over these years. So even though the show didn't go where we wanted it to, it brought us together to work together, becoming friends, led us to writing the script for Cause and Origin together and pitching that. You and I were in the City of Brotherly Love to co-pitch that and were, I think, both pretty astounded by the warm reception we received for it from the get-go. You know, even though we've recently dissolved the whole Dalmatian Productions division of our lives, that's little piece is still hanging around and still, you know, I'm still working on it in the background just a little bit, maybe a couple times a week to see if there's still an opening for a show like that somewhere on the vast, vast universe of broadcast, satellite, cable, network, streaming.
It's easier to just call it content delivery.
Yeah, you're right. That is it. Content delivery.
And it's content creation. I tell everybody, if you want to know what I do, I'm a media content creator. That's the easiest way to go about it, because that covers all sins.
Right. That's good. Well, that's good. And I think it's going to be great. Is there any more you have, about it? Any other ideas that you're thinking of?
Well, I mean, it's the kind of thing where we're going to have to see, you've got an established audience and they keep coming back for more. And my hope is, and I know yours is too, but my hope for you and for us is that adding Fire Rescue and EMS Today to the Five Alarm Task Force podcast will enhance the program, add another perspective, as you were saying earlier. And I have to make sure that I deliver that. That's my commitment. And, I hope also that, the audience for that will respond. And we'll have a dedicated email address where they can send us a note or something like that. I'm not nearly the social media guru that you are in terms of staying on top of all these things. I have a feeling I'm going to get an education fairly quickly. I have too many email accounts, but from an electronic standpoint, that's the medium I go to most, followed by text messaging just to, confirm. Yeah. My point is I'd like the audience to feel that we want to hear what they have to say, and hopefully it'll be something that, they like.
Well, I agree. And we always solicit, in fact, in the outro of every show, we solicit people, if they have an idea for a show, if they want to be a guest, or they know of a guest. Now, it really hasn't happened via email, but I have had people through social media send a tweet or a message on Instagram or on Facebook saying, hey, could you, would you look at this person, or could you cover this topic in a show? And I've tried to do that for them as well. And I like that because it tells me that we're delivering a product that this person finds interesting, and there's a topic they would like us to hit on, or guests they'd like us to invite to the show, for the information that person already knows what that person can bring to the show. So I love that that whole concept of the suggestions that I get from social media. And I've tried to do my best to, follow up and bring some of those guests on, and I have. It's sometimes a little bit awkward because oftentimes their suggestions, they don't know me from a hole in the wall. So I have to send them a direct message or dig out their email some way or another social media platform so I can reach them and say, hi, this is who I am. I'd like to invite you for more information. Just send me an email and that's the way it starts. And I've probably gotten a couple of dozen of my guests just through that manner. So I hope that, as you just said, we'll make an impact on the viewers and listeners that they'll say, oh, we'd love to hear about this. Can you guys cover this? Yeah, we'll make our best effort to do so, because that's what we're here for. We're not here to listen to ourselves. We're here to record these so that we have our viewers and listeners. And we hope that we educate and elucidate the stories and the information that comes from Fire Rescue and EMS Today.
Well, okay. Sounds fair.
Sounds good. And so that means we'll be right back in just a few moments, right after these words, with the audio track of America's Heroes, the Men and Women of Fire Rescue. Please stay tuned. The tone sounds and the dispatcher announces, stations 14 and 16, working residential structure. And that was all you needed to hear. You jump up from your chair, head to the engine, and climb into the jump seat. As the cue screams, you take stock of your PPE. Bunker pants, check. Turnout coat, check. Hood, check. Gloves, check. Escape line, check. SCBA strapped on, you're ready. Upon arrival, you jump off the apparatus, grab the loops of the Red Cross lay, and head for the open front door, where smoke is pouring out. You make sure your buddy is behind you. Crouch low and make your way inside, your trusty SCBA mask hanging on your tool belt. What? Stop everything! What the hell are you thinking? You see, it's a working room and contents fire, and the smoke is banking down almost to the floor. Who do you think you are, Superman? One breath of that crap and the smoke will damage you in some way, guaranteed. All the soot, carbon, carcinogens, and other outgassing materials will enter your body through the pores on your unprotected face. Don't be the domino. The first person down that forces everyone else to change their task to take care of you. Always remember, face peace on. You have comrades depending on you and a family to go to. Face peace on.
You show up for your shift, but you're not feeling 100%. You greet your colleagues with a smile, but just can't put your finger on it. I'll shake it off in an hour, you think to yourself. You take a couple of nothing runs, but you're still not feeling any better when you get back to the barn. You throw some cold water on your face and think, yeah, that's more like it, and you head back to the day room. With training scheduled for after lunch, you make yourself comfortable in one of the recliners, but as you sit there, you feel ill. You start to sweat, and you feel nauseous. There's a pain in your left arm that you've never had before. Hey, guys, you call out. I'm not feeling well. And your voice trails, your eyes close, and the darkness surrounds you. More firefighters die from cardiovascular health issues than any other reason. Don't let self-pride get in the way of taking care of yourself. See your doctor on a regular basis, and be sure to advise him or her that you're a firefighter. Don't be a statistic. Be a healthy firefighter with a long career. For more information, visit the IAFF, NVFC, or IAFC-SHS websites.
When most of us see an engine, a ladder company, or ambulance, we think about some of the runs we've been on, or we look forward to the next one coming. But what if that rig shows up at your home for an emergency? Repairs, deductibles, copays, and other out-of-pocket expenses quickly add up. You know our podcast, Five Alarm Task Force. We have been bringing you some of the best instructors, mentors, and other experts in the fire service and emergency medicine for over four seasons. And now, our new nonprofit, Five Alarm Task Force Corp., wants to be able to help you if you find yourself or your family in dire need. Since we launched the nonprofit, our website visits have truly increased, yet only one donation has come in. Look, 2020 has been a crappy year for most of us, and money is tight. It's no different in my own home, where only my wife is able to work. That's right, I became medically disabled in 1992. Sure, a new implant reduced my pain during the day and lets me do some more, but I can't work. With that said, we are not asking you for $100 or even $50. Could you contribute $1, $5, or even $10? If so, those add up. So please head over to our website, 5-AlarmTaskForceCorp.org. On the top menu, please select the Our Mission tab to learn more about our efforts to help firefighters and other first responders in dire need. On many of the pages, you'll see our donate button from our good friends at PayPal. And you don't have to have a PayPal account. You can use any debit or credit card that you normally do. And your donation may be tax deductible for you. With the holidays almost around the corner, you will know that your donation will go to help our colleagues. We do it every day for strangers, don't we? And we have to help our own when he or she is in dire need. Thanks very much, and please, pass it on. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and stay well. Please contact your tax advisor for the determination if your donation will be tax deductible for you. Welcome back to this special episode of Five Alarm Task Force. I'm your host, Steve Green. Joining me today is my longtime friend, business partner, and a great content creator, voiceover artist, my friend Tom Mitten. And he's here today as we're talking about the introduction of a new segment Tom is bringing to us called FRET, Fire, Rescue, and EMS Today. And in this next portion of the podcast, you'll be able to hear the audio track of our first pilot episode of our reality show called America's Heroes, the Men and Women of Fire Rescue. Now, if you would like to go to YouTube and watch the video, you can use this shortcut, bit.ly/ America's Heroes with a capital A and a capital H. Okay? Again, that's bit.ly/ America's Heroes with a capital A on America's and a capital H. The words go together. There's no spaces, no marks between them. All right, and you'll be able to watch it and listen to it there. Right now, let's get back to the podcast as we listen to the audio track from America's Heroes, the men and women of fire rescue, with my good friend, Tom Mitten.
Going back to what I had mentioned early on, do we want to
close
out with our little excerpt? Or
that'd be great. Let's do a little excerpt.
We've got about 9 minutes here. It's two stories.
Okay.
Now, remind me, if people want to go see the show, is there a link to the America's Heroes YouTube on the Five Alarm website or somewhere on Five Alarm something? Or
yeah, all they have to do is go to... Well, our videos now are on Five Alarm Task Force Corp. That's the name of our channel.
Right.
And I think the old Dal Matt Prod channel is still there. And that's, I believe, where I do have the link for Five Alarm for America's Heroes in my signature of my email. So I know it's there. I just don't remember. I think it's a bit.ly. I think it's capital, bit.ly/ America's Heroes. I think that's exactly what it is.
You actually titled a bit.ly for it. Okay. Because yeah. it just kind of lives in my YouTube.
Right.
My YouTube library.
Right.
I don't really call it a channel, but I guess that's kind of what the term is. It's more, to me, it's more a library.
Right.
It's
just, right.
They're all accumulated.
Yeah, YouTube just uses the channel name for
yeah. Years, yeah.
So let's share it.
Find it if they want. And so let's see now. I'm hopefully I'm not striking out here.
I got to make sure you're still sharing screen. Hold on. We got to do that. Oh, you're still a co-host. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think that ends until this ends.
Okay. Right.
So I need to just share the screen and do this. And are we going to come back to say goodbye? Or
yeah, we'll come back and say goodbye. Yeah, we'll come back and say goodbye.
Well, let's see if we can make this happen here, boss. Sure. And this should do it. Let's see. Can you see the blue screen?
I see the blue screen. Yes, we do.
Let's see what happens now.
Okay.
And we'll be quiet. There we go. Told you I'm having my
That's okay.
Issues here. Got it?
Yep, here we go.
Here we go.
Rescue calls that involve children make the hearts of those who respond beat a little faster as they think for just a moment of their own youngsters. Such is the case as firefighters are dispatched to a report of a small boy entrapped in a sewer pipe. When rescuers arrive, they find the boy swallowed up by a section of concrete pipe protruding vertically from the ground. Initial attempts to pull the boy straight up prove unsuccessful as he is tightly wedged inside the cylinder. A young emergency medical technician holds the boy's outstretched hand in an attempt to assess his injuries and provide him comfort, while other members of the rescue team wonder aloud just how they need to proceed.
We discussed it for a few minutes and decided that the best way would be remove some of the debris around the pipe and poke a hole in the bottom to take a look and see how bad he was stuck. And maybe also get a chance to assess his injuries.
Since the young boy is conscious, alert, and not complaining of any pain, rescuers talk with him and try to determine just how he had become wedged inside the concrete cylinder. However, they know that extricating him quickly is critically important.
At first, we thought it was real simple and we'd be able just to grab hold of him and lift him out. With the way his leg was twisted up alongside of him, we were actually pinching him into the pipe a little bit more by trying to lift him out. So we attempted that at first, but then decided that we would have to go another way. With injuries that were possible with him falling in that pipe, we knew that it was an emergency and had to get him out quickly.
The firefighters recognize that in order to free the boy, they need to get inside the pipe from below him. After securing the pipe with ropes to keep it from moving, they measure both inside and outside along the cylinder wall. Then using a sledgehammer, the crew breaks through the concrete at a point safely below where the youngster is stuck. This gives them the vantage point they need to move ahead with their plan to carefully straighten the boy's tangled right leg and then lift him out of his tight quarters.
Bottom of the sneaker, which is right where you were banging. Right here, Kenny. Right here where his shoulder is.
Meanwhile, the young EMT and the boy continue to bond, which is also an important element of the rescuer's strategy. By diverting the boy's attention from his predicament and giving him assurance that everything would be all right, the extrication crew can move ahead quickly.
We were explaining to him what was going on, what we were going to do, how we were going to get him out, told him who was here, his mom, a lot of people watching him. Then I just engaged in general conversation, how old he was, where he went to school, what he was doing, how he got stuck in the pipe.
Members of the rescue crew continually monitor the inside of the pipe with flashlights to ensure that the actions taking place below the trapped boy do not jeopardize him in any way. Once they have broken through the concrete and gained clear access to the boy's twisted leg, the rescuers carefully remove his shoes, untangle his leg, and gently lift him out of the sewer pipe.
There he is,
Once freed from the cylinder, the boy's injuries can be more thoroughly assessed. Amazingly, other than his twisted ankle, the youngster has suffered no broken bones or trauma, only minor scrapes and bruises. While certainly more than he bargained for, the boy's adventurous walk around the rim of the pipe has ended happily. Firefighters are in the business of saving lives and property, and every call they answer poses unique challenges regarding that mission. Today, there are a growing number of specialized firefighting teams whose job it is to be prepared to rescue the rescuers. Upon arrival, the fire chief finds a heavy fire condition in this two-story home. Recognizing the workload ahead, he quickly calls for the local firefighter assistant search, or FAST team, to respond. The specialized group of firefighters who make up the FAST team are responsible for monitoring the progress of those battling the flames or searching for victims. Should any of the frontline personnel find themselves in trouble, the FAST team immediately springs into action to assist their fellow rescuers to safety. This particular fire continues to spread rapidly, making its way up from the basement through the first and second floors of the home. While teams of firefighters are inside, battling the flames and searching for occupants, others are cutting holes in the roof to allow the smoke and gases to escape, creating a clearer path for those inside.
Fire on the second floor was getting more and more intense. We noticed this, we saw thick brown smoke starting to pour out of the structure, which was a little odd considering there was at least two or three hand lines in the structure itself. Upon noticing this, I instructed all of my team to get their masks on and get ready to go in service.
As the fire spreads, crews report that no victims have been found inside the home. The fire chief orders everyone to exit the building. However, before the crew on the roof could complete their assignment, the fast-moving fire engulfs the second story of the home and begins shooting out of every window, as well as through the holes they had cut in the roof. The firefighters are trapped on the roof of the now fully involved structure.
We got somebody on the roof!
We immediately went and assisted with moving ladders to get firefighters that were still stuck on the roof of the structure that were venting at the time. I assisted with firefighter Winterberg in moving some of the ladders to get some of those firefighters off the roof as quickly as possible.
The fire causes considerable damage to the home and its contents. But due to the quick thinking of the fire chief and the efforts of the FAST team, the firefighters who had become trapped on the roof as the flames approached them were rescued. Suffered no injuries.
Being a firefighter, you want to get in there. You want to get inside. You want to put out the fire. You want to help out. But being on the FAST team, you have to kind of sit outside and watch the fire develop. We stood there, we watched the fire for nearly half an hour, and after that, the second floor took off, and we were just as important as anybody else, if not more important, because we were fresh. We were ready to go. We were ready to help those people who've been working so hard for the past half an hour.
And if you're still there, there you go.
Still here.
It's still my contention has always been it still holds up pretty well.
It does. It's nostalgic. It takes those two stories brought me up back to the time we were sitting going through tapes and reviewing and and choosing and then reaching out to the departments. You know, luckily, Ellesmere Wilmington, you were connected with already. Willow Grove, I had established a semi-connection because I kept visiting them whenever I was in the community.
And Spring, Texas just showed up.
And Spring, Texas just showed up. We were very lucky with that one.
Let's also, in case folks might not be familiar, since it was more than 20 years ago, when John Deanna was talking about the FAST team, right. This was in the very early days of this kind of activity. It's now obviously RIT.
RIT or RIC. I hear a new RIC team, RIT as well.
RIT, of course.
But yeah, RIT. Yeah.
Intervention
yeah.
team. But yeah, but anyway, just in case people were like, what's the fan? I mean, it's obvious what it is, but that terminology was, they were competing at the times and RIT kind of won out. Yeah,
there were lots of acronyms being used there.
But
it was the mission was the same, no matter what its name was.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But let's hope maybe our viewers, listeners will, and we apologize for the listeners that couldn't see the story, but you got to enjoy Curtis's wonderful narration and interviews with the folks that made it happen. So we hope that was something for you.
And I think with that, if the viewers and listeners like that preview, and then they go to YouTube and watch the whole show, it would be really nice if they said, how come you guys can't do that today? And that's a question that you and I have thought about, and Rich has as well.
Lost a lot of hair about.
Yeah.
But I think the thing is too, I mean, we took a very different approach. Not only was it the approach that we're part of the business, so we'll represent as well as tell the story. We'll represent the brothers and sisters that we have in this industry, in this business, in this family. But also, the packaging for this was an hour-long pilot, so it was 48 minutes, and the stories averaged 4 minutes, and there were all different departments. So we did a broader brush look in bite-sized pieces of interesting stories. At least we thought they were interesting.
Right. And we let those involved speak in their own words as to what they did.
Well, they're the story. Without them, we have nothing.
Exactly. Well, I think this has been a great piece for us to do. I'm thrilled to have you on board. I can't wait for you to let me know that we got the first episode of FRET coming down the pipe.
I will do my best to hold up my end of the bargain, Chief and Sir or Steve, buddy.
Let's keep it simple. Yeah. Keep it simple.
We'll we'll depend on the folks that are watching and listening to let us know, especially the listeners, because part of the big deal is we have to make the story interesting to the ear.
Exactly.
Because that's the majority of deliveries is as audio. So we want it to be interesting to everybody. But we certainly realize that the audio medium requires that your words become pictures.
Very true. Very true. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed this little peek at FRET, Fire Rescue EMS today. I'll keep you posted on when we're going to have the first episode come in. And I want to thank my good friend, Tom Mitten, again, for over 20 years, not only a great media content creator, producer, director, but a great friend and supporter for all these years. So, Tom, we look forward to it. Great to have you on board. And
my pleasure and privilege.
And can't wait to get our first piece.
You betcha.
All right, you stay safe and stay well.
And you do the same, Steve.
Thanks. Folks, we'll be right back right after these words. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Five Alarm Task Force.
Time to call it a night. The kids are tucked in, the TV's off, and the dog's in the den. Seems all is calm. But wait, it's not all right. When it's time for bed, keep your family safe in the event of a fire. Close before you doze. In other words, close your bedroom doors when it's time to sleep. You've installed working smoke and carbon monoxide alarms and practiced fire escape plans. Now add this important step to protecting yourself and your loved ones. Close before you doze. Closed doors dramatically decrease heat and carbon monoxide levels, providing trapped occupants more time to escape when seconds count. Closed doors can slow the spread of smoke and fire, conserve oxygen levels, and keep temperatures significantly lower. Also remember,
If you're the last one to exit, make sure you close the main door. For more information about close before you doze, visit ulfirefightersafety.org. A life safety message from UL Firefighter Safety Research Institute, your local fire department, and 5 Alarm Task Force. Remember when you were a young boy or girl and someone bullied or teased you? Where do you most often turn? Like many of us, you turn to your family. If you're a first responder, you probably no longer worry about those childhood problems. But there are plenty more that can affect us. Lack of sleep, the tragedy and horror we often see, even life's everyday stumbling blocks, like family illness, money, job problems, and more. So where do you turn now? Your gut reaction might be to keep it to yourself and not tell anyone about the hell you're going through. However, that's not going to help you or anyone else. Instead, you could start with your second family, someone you work with at the firehouse, on the ambulance, or at the station. You spend a lot of time with them, and most of them understand many of the problems you're dealing with. Reach out to a coworker or an officer you trust. Speak to clergy at your house of worship, or contact your SISM team. Don't keep it inside, gnawing away at you. That's not good for you or anyone around you. Know that there are people who stand ready to listen to you and help you without passing judgment. Remember, to carry out your oath to protect life and property, the first life you have to care for is your own. Brought to you by 5 Alarm Task Force, along with the Critical Incident Stress Management Team in your area, close by and confidential.
Hi, this is Steve. Well, for the most part, but not completely, the counting is done. The votes have been tabulated, and if everything stays where it is right now, our new president-elect is former Vice President Joe Biden. And our new Vice President-elect is Kamala Harris. But remember, the other party has a legal right to request recounts. And we have to honor that because it's part of our democracy. We allow for that. We know mistakes can happen. We know there's the chance of a little something that's not right slipping through. And we need to allow that process to go through. Now, many of us chose one candidate over this candidate, and one of us liked this one better than we liked that one. But most of you, my listeners, are firefighters or first responders. And if there is one word that applies to what we do, it's teamwork. We know we have to work together. If we arrive on a working house fire, we arrive on a terrible MVC, whatever the call, we don't do this by ourselves. We team together with our colleagues, our comrades in our department, in our station, and we do what has to be done. Well, we have to look at the American people the same way. We have our different opinions on everything. Some people like big dogs, some like little. Some like this liquor, some like that one. Some like this fancy wine, and some like Boone's Farm, if you're old enough to remember what that was. But the fact is that doesn't divide us. So why should we allow politics to divide us? We are Americans. We are the United States. We are not called the fractured union. We're not called a conglomeration of pseudo-governmental organizations. We are the United States. And you know, as well as I do, that in the event of an emergency in our communities, we all go out to help. Every one of us. Why would we let this be any different? Why does this have to fracture us? Why does this have to separate us? It doesn't. It's just an opinion. And as the old saying goes, opinions are like belly buttons. We all have them and they all stink. Okay? But we can go from that and get back together and work, help each other. You know, back in the Obama administration, the president offered a bill to help rebuild the infrastructure of this country. And it wasn't even heard. It wasn't even entertained because Congress at that time didn't like him as a president. And they didn't want to entertain any bill that he submitted. But this bill would have put several million Americans back to work at good pay in jobs that they would be trained for that they could use after the projects to rebuild the infrastructure of this country, all over this country, from sea to shining sea, from the border with Canada to the border with Mexico, and across the entire country. And yet, Congress didn't want to do it then. Can you imagine where we'd be today and where those people might be today who received a good, strong, workable wage and they received benefits like health insurance, etc., okay, for their families? Where would they be today if we had passed that bill then? Okay, well, we didn't, and that's water under the bridge. We can't change that. But there have been rumors that President-elect Biden is looking to submit that bill again or something like it. Considering what COVID has done to this country in every level, from the richest corporation down to the mom and pop store, the COVID pandemic has hurt all of us. All of us. Okay? And we need to get back to a normalcy and get back to the ability to come together and work together. I'm going to close with a statement that late President Ronald Reagan made to the United Nations. It's kind of far out, but it's truthful, especially if you're a fan of the movie Independence Day, the original one. And what President Reagan said, he says, "Why do we have to have all these differences? Because I can guarantee you," he said, "that if some alien force came to attack this planet, the entire planet would band together to save humanity." Well, we have been invaded. We've been invaded by this virus, this pandemic. And it's time now that we band together and do everything we can, starting today, not waiting till Inauguration Day, starting today to work together, to do what each of us can do to stop the spread of this virus. No, masks aren't always comfortable, and they're a pain in the ass, okay? That's what they are. But we use them. Did you ever complain to your doctor? Or did you ever hear your surgeon complain to you that he has to wear a mask during your 3-hour surgery? He has to stand for those 3 hours? Or she does? No, not a word. They wear them all day long. Why? Because when they perform surgery on us, they want to take care of us. They want to make sure there are no germs that can get into the wound with what they're doing. And we have to do the same thing. We wear our mask to prevent that virus from spreading or getting to us, or if we have it and we don't even know it, sending out to somebody else. And somebody else and somebody else and somebody else after that. We're in a very dire time as we enter mid-November, ladies and gentlemen. We need to band together as a country, united, to stop COVID from taking over this country. And that's my view. Stay safe and stay well.
Every year, over 1 million fires burn in America. Fortunately, firefighters are on the job, saving life and property, and you can be a part of it. 7 out of 10 firefighters and emergency responders are volunteers. There's no typical firefighter. Anyone can volunteer to serve their community. Volunteering as a first responder is really about having the heart and drive to make a difference where it's needed most. Your community needs you. Are you ready to answer the call? Learn more and find local volunteer opportunities at makemeafirefighter.org.
And that wraps this episode of 5-Alum Task Force, brought to you by 5-Alum Task Force Corp. One family, one mission, first responders helping each other. We'd like to thank our guests, Chief Dan Kerrigan and Captain Jim Moss, for joining us to discuss firefighter health, wellness, and fitness for duty. Did you know you can find us and subscribe to us on all the top podcast platforms? Just search for 5-Alum Task Force. We also want to thank our sponsors, Insight Training LLC and the Firehouse Tribune, as well as our promotional partners, Chief Miller Products and Sites, LifeScan Wellness Centers, Nesta Bars, the Firefighter Cancer Foundation, the Firefighter Cancer Support Network, the Albemarle Sweet Shop, the North Florida Fire Expo, and the Great Florida Fire School. If you would like to be a guest with us, have a suggestion for a show, please drop us a line to info@5-AlarmTaskForceCorp.org. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at 5AlarmTaskForce, on Facebook at /DalmadProdFire, and on YouTube, please subscribe to our channel, 5-AlarmTaskForceCorp. Stay up to date with all the news about our podcasts, our new nonprofit foundation, and our blog on our website, www.5-AlarmTaskForceCorp.org. I'm Steve Green. Until next time, stay safe, stay well, and let's make sure everyone goes home.